Thank you for the great message and song. Thankful for that truth. We know he cares for us, don't we? And he's proved that. Proved that on the cross of Calvary. He proved that through his word. And if God can take into account the sparrow, then he can keep track of every one of us, can he? Good message and song. Thank you for that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 tonight. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you being here on this special night. It's extra special because we are observing the Lord's table this evening, as we are told to do, instructed to do in the Word of God. And let's look at some of those verses together this evening for a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Everybody, even some of the children here, I know it's possible to be too young to understand everything that's going on, but everybody can understand from the Word of God what we are doing tonight and why we are doing this tonight. And that's one of the reasons we're going to go to the Word of God right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at the first couple of verses, and then we'll skip to the passage that I think would be familiar to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." This is the Apostle Paul talking to the believers there at Corinth. "Now I praise you, brethren." Now I praise you, brethren, "that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Now, contrary to what you see with some churches and some preachers today, Paul was not an egomaniac, okay? And that's not why he's saying what he says in verse 1, "Be ye followers of me," and saying, "Remember me in all things." He's not doing that because he's hung up on himself and he wants other people to be hung up on him also. He's doing that because this is the order that God has given. He's raised him up to be the apostle for the church age, this age that we currently still reside in, just like the church at Corinth did way back in when this was written. And so God has given instructions to the apostle, and that doctrine, we follow right doctrine even today. And that's why he says, "Be ye followers of me." How are we going to be a follower of Christ today? Well, we follow what Christ told the Apostle Paul, okay? Especially when it comes to distinct matters of doctrine, like the church, believers today, observing the Lord's Supper. That's why he says this in verse 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things." What does that mean? How to do things, how to function, especially when you assemble together like a local assembly coming together to observe something like the Lord's Supper. And it says, "And keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Can I remind you of verse 23? We'll read it in a minute. Hopefully that's on the same page for you. Look at it now, because I want you to let's have our full understanding tonight. Let's take as being offensive, and I don't mean it that way. But let's use our full complement of understanding, okay? Let's do that on purpose. You have to choose to do that. Verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." So when Paul had preached the gospel, the church had got started in Corinth, he preached to them right doctrine, how to function. He gave them order. When they came together to assemble themselves together, they had proper order to follow. You find out later that the church at Corinth didn't follow the proper scriptural order, and so Paul writes back to them and has to correct them. That's what you read about all through this passage, chapter 11, chapter 12. You have the charity chapter, chapter 13, chapter 14. They were out of order when they assembled together. Now, do you understand that's what the Bible's talking about there? Out of order when it came to the Lord's Supper. Out of order when it came to how their services were conducted with the speaking of tongues and all the things that were going on, the sign gifts that were still in operation at this time, that are no longer in operation today. All that was dealt with, and he corrected them and gave them scripture on that. All right, let me keep going. Look at verse number 20, okay? Verse number 20. But let me say this before we get to verse 20. In verse 2, Paul says, "Keep the ordinances." Keep the ordinances. He delivered them to the church at Corinth. He received them, verse 23 says, of the Lord, and then he gave them, he delivered them, he declared them unto them. Okay? Paul got a message. He was just a messenger boy. I don't make too much of the Apostle Paul. I just look at what the scripture says about him, and I follow that best I can. Just like I definitely don't make too much of myself, or I try not to, and other preachers don't do that. Because why? Because we're just messenger boys. We're just servants of the master. We're not the master. We have a message from the master, and that's what gets the the importance, and that's where the glory goes, is to the one that can do the saving and can do the keeping and all the things that we understand. In verse 2, he talks about the ordinances. What are those ordinances? Now, the Lord's Supper is mentioned here in this passage and other places, whether we want to go back to the book of Acts or if we want to look at the beginning chapters of 1 Corinthians. We've identified in right doctrine in Scripture that the two ordinances that the church has an observance today are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, there are more than two ordinances in the whole Bible. Is that correct? Okay. There's 613 in the Old Testament alone, right? Amen. Did I need to start over? Did I say something? Did I not tell a joke at the beginning? Is that what happened? Okay. I didn't think we were supposed to tell a joke on Lord's Supper night. But anyway, there's a lot of ordinances in the Bible, but there's two in particular that we observe today. We can observe lots of ordinances, but there's two that we're supposed to observe officially when we come together. Okay? The Lord's Supper commemorates, that we're going to be observing tonight, commemorates the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember it. The way to remember something is to make sure that information stays in front of you often. Maybe you know, once a month, maybe several times a year, however you want to do that. But the information needs to continually be put before and never strayed from and never forgotten and never ignored and never left alone. That information has to continually be put before, in this case, a believer. And when it comes to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, we know so much of what the Bible says was accomplished with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I call Christ's cross work, his finished work, his salvation work. Oh, so much was accomplished that most saved people don't even realize, and we won't fully realize until we're just like him and have the mind that he will impart to us and takes away our flesh and changes us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and so on and so forth. I understand all that, but we have to continually remember that the death of Christ had a purpose, and it had a personal purpose for me and you. And so we observe it together. The Lord's Supper commemorates the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism, water baptism by immersion. When I say baptism, that's what I'm referring to. Water baptism by immersion, like the baptismal tank that's behind the choir loft here. That pictures the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know what we preach? We preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in the significance of what Jesus Christ accomplished for you with his death, burial, and resurrection, please don't participate tonight, because you would be receiving this unworthily. This is not just a ceremony. This isn't just some religious thing that you can come and get in on when you want to and not worry about when you don't want to. No, this means something very special, very, very important. And so if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for each one of us and our soul salvation and our eternity with him, then make sure you don't participate tonight, because there's no reason to do that, okay? There's no significance, no reason for you to be a part of this. And I'm not being mean when I say that. I think I'm trying to be helpful, because I want you to understand how important this is. And I wish, if you don't understand what Jesus Christ accomplished for you and you have not received that personally, then you need to fix that tonight. You can make that decision and you can make that effort to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But this is what we're dealing with tonight. We're following right doctrine and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. So verse number 20, let's look at it. When you come together, therefore, into one place. There's an assembly there when you come together in one place. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. That's the wrong purpose again. You're trying to take part in something and you're missing the purpose. You're missing the significance of it. This is not a dinner on the grounds. This is not a church fellowship where we all eat and we all bring food and we all, you know, all eat. That's not what this is about. It's not about the flesh getting fed or anything like that. It's not about getting your daily meal, your daily provision. No, this is for spiritual reasons. This is eternal significance here, not physical significance that we're looking at tonight. And so that's what verses 20 through 22 are talking about. And then verse 23, of course, let me read it again just because it's a great verse. For I have received of the Lord, a good reference for that is Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. That which also I delivered unto you, another good reference is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Titus chapter 1, verse 3. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So he goes back, just like we can go back to the cross and the account in the Gospels of the Scripture, and we can look and see the significant thing that happened. We can go back and look after Christ and the disciples, the 12 disciples, including Judas at that time. They participated in the Passover feast, the Passover meal. But after that was completed and after that was finished, then Christ did something of significance when he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. Now, how do we follow that? Do we receive the Passover, then try to make the Lord's Supper? No, that's different. Passover, the feast, and all that's for the nation of Israel. But we follow it according to right doctrine today, as it's been revealed by the Lord from heaven, and we follow the Lord's Supper today. It was instituted on that evening, that what we call the Passover evening, I guess you could say, but it's not the Passover. In fact, we don't observe the Passover. Christ, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians, Christ is our Passover. Okay, and we understand that Christ accomplished all that. So that's what verses 20 and 22 are talking about, the observance of the Lord's table, not for the flesh. And by the way, that's why the servings, as we participate in this ceremonial observance tonight, the servings will be very small, won't they? The bread will be a very small piece. The juice will be very small. It's not a large serving. If you're out to satisfy your flesh, then you have to have a bigger serving than that. At least I do. Most of you probably would have to say yes on that too. It's not about the flesh tonight. Okay, it's the significance of what this represents, the symbolism here. So verse number 24. Let's look at it. And when he had given thanks, referring back to the passage we'll look at in a minute in Matthew 26. He brake it, I'm talking about the bread in verse 23. He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So you have the significance of the bread, and we'll receive that this evening. And the bread we'll receive will not have any leavening in it because of the scriptural significance there. Leaven being a type of sin and leaven even being a type of false doctrine as it's pointed out in the Gospels. So we'll have a little piece, almost like a cracker thing that's going to be unleavened, but the bread symbolizes the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. His body was broken. It was broken as they whipped him and as they persecuted him and tortured him, and his body was broken as they nailed him to that cross and they plunged that spear into his side. His body, his physical body, was literally broken. Broken. You know why it was broken? It's broken for me and it's broken for you. It means much, and it's very significant, and we need to think of that tonight. We need to remember that tonight. That's what it says in verse 24, the last part. This do in remembrance of me. Then you see in verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup, the Lord Jesus, on that Passover night. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. So you have the significance of the cup. What we'll use as the fruit of the vine this evening, that represents the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand there would be no New Testament if blood wouldn't have been shed for me and you, for this all the sins of the whole world. This is a memorial. The New Testament started after Jesus Christ's body was broken and his blood was shed on the cross of Calvary. You understand that, right? You cannot have a testament without first having the death of the testator, the writer of Hebrews tells us. So even though I know for classification's sake we say our New Testament begins in Matthew chapter 1, it technically does not. Technically does not. It does not begin until Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood. And we have the significance of the cup, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It's what the scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews. Verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. As believers observe this, and as oft as ye do it, that's how often you're told to do it. As oft as ye do it. So you're not given a frequency of how often to do it on the, you know, on the first Sunday of the month or anything like that. You're not told that. And you have to be careful, because when somebody does something over and over and over again, it just becomes an old routine that sometimes, very often in our humanity, loses its significance. And I agree with the frequency that we've observed the Lord's Supper. We could always do it more, but I agree with it because I think it's always a special thing when we do it. And I agree with that, and I think it always should be a special thing when we set aside a service to observe and to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for me and for you personally. And that's what this is dealing with in verse 26. And we're going to do it until he come. And that's what we're waiting for, is his appearing in the air, and we're gathered together unto him. And what a blessing that is to think of that at this moment. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Do you remember what in context was eating and drinking the Lord's Supper, or observing the Lord's Supper unworthily? That would be here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, coming together, making it a show of flesh, making it a show of I have more than you have. I'm going to take of what I brought. You take of what you brought. I brought more. What I brought was better than you. It's all making it about you, making you be the significant thing. That's unworthily. Now we can go a little, we can make application and go further than that and examine our own personal hearts and lives, because there is nothing hidden from the Lord. And if we are trying to hide something maybe from other people, or hide something or not deal with something that the Lord has pointed out in our life, this would be a good time to examine yourself. This would be a good time to let the Scripture judge what you're doing or decisions you're making. I have other verses that we could look at, but a good one would be 1 Corinthians 2:15. I'm not going to turn there, but I'll just remind you that 1 Corinthians 2:15, which is just a few chapters back, of course, the Bible tells us that he that is spiritual, talking about the believer, and he's not meaning this, I don't think, in the haughty Pharisaical outdo somebody else. He's talking about if you really have a right relationship with the Lord, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, we think that he that is spiritual judgeth all people, but that's not what the Bible says. Okay? It says he judgeth all things, what? Concerning himself. Concerning himself. What about this in my life? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about it. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And when I or you are wrong and cross with this book, we let the book correct us. That's one of the ways it operates on us, according to Scripture. Correction, reproof, instruction, okay? All those things are found within God's Word. So you have to be careful about that. This is a good time to get in line with God's Word, to get your heart back right, get to remember and to think about what's most important, Christ and what He did for us. Christ and His broken body, Christ and His shed blood, and how He forgave us of our sins, even though we were not worthy of His forgiveness. We were not worthy of His broken body or His shed blood, yet He did it for us out of His love. And He accomplished our salvation that we could not accomplish, that we were helpless to be forgiven. We are helpless to be delivered, helpless to be saved, yet Christ came and He intervened and did all those things for us according to the Scripture. Condemnation here, you see in verse 29, it says, talking about eating and drinking damnation to yourself. You keep reading, it says in verse 30, for this cause, what? Partaking of this holy observance in the unworthy way. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Do you know that the Bible tells us that you can face condemnation even as a saved person? You know how you do that? You face condemnation as a saved person, not for your sin, not eternal condemnation like people that are unsure in doctrine say. The way you face condemnation as a saved person is in your body. Your physical body, even though you're a saved believer, if you have that true testimony before the Lord, your physical body still can be condemned. It can still face damnation. Yes, it can. If you walk in a certain way, if you make certain decisions, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die, the Bible says. If you walk after the flesh, even though you're no longer in the flesh, You're no longer yet in your sins. You're no longer dead in trespasses of sin, but yet you choose, and you can, you choose to walk after the flesh, you'll still face that condemnation that comes upon the flesh. The wages of sin is death. Okay? Now, Romans 8:1 would be your reference for that. There is, therefore, now no condemnation. I didn't do a good job. Let me go to the passage real quick. I can do better than that. I can read it. There is therefore now, that's what it sounded like I said, right? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, comma, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what a lot of commentaries will do, and a lot of newer Bibles will do, is they'll try and take that last part out. They'll take out the part that says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, like someone saying, you have to work to keep your salvation. No, that's not what God says here. God says, even if you're a saved believer, if you walk after the flesh, there is condemnation. But if you don't walk after the flesh and choose to walk after the Spirit, there is no condemnation. Physical. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Okay, you can still choose to walk after the flesh. You know what would be walking after the flesh when it comes to observing the Lord's Supper is observing it in an unworthy way. That would be walking after the flesh. Make the Lord's Supper about you. I've seen people do that before. Okay? I've read of people doing that before. I've heard of people doing that before. You're out of line and you're out of order when you do that, and you can face the consequences. There was people in Corinth that were weak, talking about in their flesh, sickly, and many sleep. That means they died. They physically died. Why? Because they continued, even after being corrected, and even after knowing what was right, they continued to walk after the flesh when it came to something as important as the Lord's Supper. So we need to stop, pause, try our hearts, go to the Scripture, judge it the right way. Verse number 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So we have an opportunity to make the right judgments, to make the right decisions based on God's word. I feel like I should have taken more time with that, but I'm gonna continue to read. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. God deals with us. How does God deal with us? Through His Spirit, through His word. That we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. That's why you'll see us in a moment. We'll tarry one for another. We'll all partake at the same time, whether it's the bread or whether it's the cup. In verse 34, goes back kind of to the previous verses. And if any man hunger, remember this is not about the flesh, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. This is not about our humanity and our flesh and what we think might be good about us or good about somebody else. It's all about what the Lord has done. And we gotta yield to that. We got to empty ourselves of ourselves and yield over to the Lord and to His Word. And then Paul says, and the rest will I set in order when I come. I hope that you see here in 1 Corinthians 11 the significance and the importance. Yes, that's a lot of information, I guess you could say, but I'm talking to folks on a Wednesday night that have observed the Lord's Supper probably many times before. If you, like I said, if you haven't, if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, let me just give you the advice and the instruction not to partake tonight. There's no reason for you to partake. This is not a sacrament. This is not something that helps you earn your way to be in right standing before God. This is for people that understand the only right standing is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a reminder of our standing and how we got to this place of being in Christ Jesus. It was through His cross work, through what He accomplished. His broken body on the cross, His shed blood. And this is a special, special thing, one of only two ordinances we are to observe in the church, believers today, as we understand where we're at in Scripture. I hope that understanding is clear to you tonight, and may the Lord continue to give us understanding. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time in Your Word. May Your blessing be upon our observance this evening. May You bless in every way, and Father, may we be so thankful. Let our hearts be full and our minds be full of what You did for us, Your broken body on the cross of Calvary, Your shed blood. We're so thankful for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know He did not deserve to die. We deserved it, but yet He took our place So, Father, may we allow our hearts to remember what Jesus did for us and then to feel the gratitude and the joy that we have because of what Jesus did for us.